Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 6, Verse 17 and 18. Translation recorded by Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Prahlad Maharaj instructing his schoolmates, his demoniac schoolmates. My dear friends, O sons of the demons, it is certain that no one bereft of knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been able to liberate himself from material bondage at any time or in any country. Rather, those bereft of knowledge of the Lord are bound by the material laws. They are factually addicted to sense gratification, and their target is woman. Indeed, they are actually playthings in the hands of attractive women. Victimized by such a conception of life, they become surrounded by children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and thus they are shackled to material bondage. Those who are very much addicted to this conception of life are called demons. Therefore, although you are sons of demons, keep aloof from such persons and take shelter of the demigods. Because the ultimate goal for the devotees of Narayana is liberation from the bondage of material existence. Srila Prabhupada's Prahlad Maharaj has maintained the philosophical point of view that one should give up the dark well of family life and go to the forest to take shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hidvatmapatam griham anakupam manam kato yad darim ashramita. Griham anakupam manam kato yad. So, climb out of the well and go to the forest. Leave the well of material life and go to the forest of Vrindavan. In this verse also, Prahlad stresses the same point. In the history of human society, no one at any time, in any place, has been liberated because of too much affection and attachment for his family. Even those who are apparently very educated, the same family attachment is there. They cannot give up the association of their families, even in old age or invalidity, for they are attached to sense enjoyment. As we have several times discussed, yanmait nadi grihaneti sukhami tujjam, so-called householders are simply attracted by sexual enjoyment. Thus, they keep themselves shackled in family life. And furthermore, they want their children to be shackled in the same way, playing the parts of playboys in the hands of women. They glide down to the darkest regions of material existence. Adantago vir vishitam tanishram kunam punashchavita charanam. Because they are unable to control their senses, they continue a life of chodachud, and therefore descend to the darkest regions, darkest material regions. One should give up the association of such demons and adhere to the association of devotees. Thus one will be able to be liberated from material bondage. Om Nityanatamarandasya Kiranjanachalakai Jakshuramitamya Tasmai Sri Padmeya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Rama. The second verse of this section, two verses, has the word Vavarga. Vavarga means material existence. Apavarga means to become liberated from material existence. Prabhupada is very fond of breaking this word down, Vavarga. Vavarga means the material existence, which is represented by these five syllables, five Sanskrit syllables. They represent the totality of material existence. Material existence is that life of ignorance, Because this verse is discussing different points. So one of the points of the verse is that with knowledge you get liberation. Without knowledge you stay in bondage. If you have no knowledge, it's transcendental knowledge, that is. You stay in bondage to this body, and when one is bound by the body, then it's pushed by the sex impulse. And as it says in the outline of this verse, one who is bound in ignorance and attached to his body, he is pushed by the sex impulse to become a, quote, dancing dog in the hands of woman. That is the title of this verse in the introduction, in the contents. A dancing dog in the hands of woman, or a dancing woman in the hands of man. Women are also dancing for men, and women and men are dancing for women. So that is the result of ignorance that pushes one into the palarga. So there's five syllables. Pa, 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 pa. And Prabhupada explains these syllables, that pa, the syllable pa, these five syllables of the word palarga mean material existence. Material existence means pa. Pa means parishrama. Parishrama means shrama eva, shrama eva kevala, means labor. Hard work. The material world is symptomized by avidya and karma. These are the shaktis which pervade the material world. These are the energies of the Lord. We have to work very hard, and there's ignorance. This is avidya shakti. Lord has rasya shakti or vividaya shriyate. So one of his energies is avidya, ignorance. So this material world is made of avidya shakti. So ignorance pervades. We have to push it away. We have to go to college. We have to get an education. We have to learn how, what, when, where, why. So we have to push away the ignorance with the force of knowledge. Knowledge is power. Power needs force. With that force, you can drive away ignorance and attain a position in the material world. Become a doctor, a lawyer, a politician. And then you can fight off the onslaught of material nature. We're being attacked by material nature, but with knowledge is a certain power, because you get a job, you get money, then you get comfort, protection. So this pa means parishrama, hard labor. You have to work very hard to get some money, to get an education, to get knowledge in the material world. And then when you work very hard, just like a horse, we see here, we have a graphic experience of horses. They're pulling the heavy loads of bricks, or like the donkeys, or they're pulling heavy loads of people. And when they work very, very hard, what happens? Foam appears in the mouth. So pa and then pa. P-H-A. Pa means fena. Fena means foam. Fena. This means foam. So one works very hard, then foam is produced. So you're foaming at the mouth. He's running very hard, like a track star. You see horses work very hard, foam, some kind of foam, water type thing comes out of the mouth. So this means, this is fena. Pa, pa. Pa, pa. This means fena. So fena means you work very hard. What is the result of your hard work? You simply get exhausted. You get tired. And then, the second, the third syllable is pa, pa, then pa. Pa means vyartata. Vyartata, the syllable pa, pa, vha. Vha represents vyartata. Vyartata means disappointment. People are working very hard in the material world, and they're foaming at the mouth to get money. Two jobs, three jobs. And they get money, and they think, oh, now I have money, now I'll be happy. I'll get the things I want. I'll control the people I want. I'll get what I want. I'll build what I want. I'll do what I want. Eat what I want. Wear what I want. But then, they get those things, and they get disappointment, frustration. Oh, it isn't what I thought it was. She wasn't what I thought she was. He isn't what I thought he is, or was, or should be. So disappointment. This is the vyartata. Pa, pa, pa. Then the next thing is pa, which means pa means bhaya, fear. One in ignorance, who has no knowledge, transcendental knowledge, he's bound by this body, so he's subject to this varga, which is symptomized by bhaya, fear. We're so much fear. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know what may happen to us. We're afraid of so many things. Afraid of disease, afraid of death. The ultimate fear. Everyone's afraid of death. Some man may falsely say, a man without transcendental knowledge. If one does not have transcendental knowledge of this eternal existential identity, it's impossible to be fearless. One may boast, I'm strong body, big bank account, I'm fearless. Then you put a gun to his head and see what he says. Oh, Mr. Proud Man, Mr. Strong Man, now, how fearless. Oh, please, how much, I'll give you any amount of money. Don't kill me, don't kill me. Oh, Mr. Rambo, where's your fearlessness now? You may be a 98-pound weakling. You may be a 98-pound weakling, but if you're holding an AK-47, even the biggest man will become very fearless. So this is Bayam. This is the fourth condition, is Bayam. Ha, 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 ha. The last one is Ma, Ma. This Pavarga, Pavarga. This Pavarga represents these syllables. So the last one is Ma. Ma means Mrityu, Mrityu Samsara. This is Mrityu Loka, the planet of death. See, you work very hard, you phone with enough, you get disappointed, you have so many fears, and where is it end? Haribol. You die, you start again, Pavarga. But one who takes the path, takes up transcendental knowledge, he gets Apavarga. Apavarga. He gets liberated from Pavarga, free from material existence. So this verse mentions that in no time, in no place in history has anyone ever become liberated without transcendental knowledge. There's no other way. Because transcendental knowledge, it helps us understand what is our true identity. One of the themes of this section of Bhagavatam is this Vaitanadi. Vaitanadi. Vaitanadi means sex attraction between man and woman. So in this class, we don't want to talk about the dancing dogs in the hand of woman. We don't want to talk about the evils of family life. Or we want to talk about the basic impulse, this basic impulse of sex attraction, Vaitanadi. In Vaitanadi, Grihamedi Sukhamitucham. In Bhagavatam, it says this sex attraction, this mundane sex attraction is tucha, tuchava, means it's insignificant. Actually, tuchava means that you curl your lips and you spit at such a conception. Your lips curl. Curl your lips and you spit. Tuchava. So, Vaitanadi. Adi means beginning. So the beginning of all material creation is a sex attraction. So what is this propensity? What is this actual propensity? Because when one attains knowledge, part of attaining transcendental knowledge is to realize one's spiritual form. And the spiritual form of all jivas is female. The spiritual form of all jivas is female means that they're to be enjoyed by Krishna. This is Swarup, like we say, Jivara Swarupaya. Swarup means my own form. But in ignorance, because this avidya, this ignorance, we identify that this body is me, that I am man, I am woman, this material body. So we're driven by this desire. There's a driving force, there's a pushing within us to enjoy another body. But this pushing within us, this sex attraction is natural. It is inherent in the soul. The pushing within that pushes them down to a woman. Prabhupada says in one purport that a woman lives simply to be attracted by man. And a man lives simply to be attracted by woman. Man, woman's dressing herself so nice. Look at me. Look at my eyes. Look at my hairdo. Look at my clothes. And a man is dressing himself and acting in such a way. Look at me. Look at my dress. Look at my power. Look at my opulence. So they're both trying to attract each other. So this is the kingdom of avidya. One existing like this. Because these are shaktis of the Lord. Madhvacharya explains that avidya, that actually vidya or knowledge is Lakshmi. The goddess of fortune is actually knowledge. Vidya, spiritual knowledge, is one of the shaktis. This vidya shakti is the goddess of fortune. And avidya shakti, who is avidya? Durga. She's Durga. Durga means the Kali Vairava, the material world. This avidya shakti, this ignorance that covers us. So our natural loving propensity to love Krishna, this propensity to enjoy, to offer ourselves and to completely satisfy ourselves serving Krishna and being satisfied by him, is proverbially directed towards the bodies of this world. Then we say yan maitu adi. Maitu means sex attraction, and adi means beginning. So material life begins with this. But when one cultivates spiritual knowledge, he realizes his sarup. And when one realizes his sarup, he realizes his relationship with the Lord, his loving relationship. And then he loses all attraction for the material forms, the material, driving. Because there's a phenomenon within the soul. It's called Shringar Ras, the Adi Ras. The Adi Ras, the original Ras, which means flavor or taste, is a sex attraction. Prabhupada writes one purport, that lust and sex are there in the spiritual world. There is lust in the spiritual world, and there is sex in the spiritual world. So that's where that propensity comes from the soul. Because it's in the spiritual world. But it's not perverted. There's no enmity. When the original sex attraction of the soul, this is also explained by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, this is called spiritual amor, the spiritual loving propensity of the soul. When that soul is stuffed in this body is made of ignorance, that pure propensity to love and serve Krishna without reservation becomes perverted when it's placed, expressed through this body. What is happening in a man's attraction for woman and in a woman's attraction for man is a perverted expression of the Adi Ras of the soul. The soul, you could say, wants to have sexual union. The soul wants sexual union with God. But that desire to have union with God is perverted through this container of the body. So the man is driven to want to have union with the woman, and woman wants union with the man. But this is ignorance, an illusion. So as one attains transcendental knowledge, he realizes his sarup, that I actually have a spiritual body. This, and the Lord, the fullest understanding of God is that he has an eternal form also. And I can link with him in eternal love. I can have an eternal loving relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the actual perfection of Bhakti Yoga. This is the perfection of spiritual philosophy. This is the oneness that is hinted at, but the halo of this oneness is approached by the Mayavadis. They don't fully understand it because they don't understand the personal conception of oneness. Personal conception of oneness is when the soul is linked, divinely linked, in a loving relationship with the Lord, expressed in five different humors. So this is the actual essence of life. This is the driving force. This is why what's driving the whole material world is the search for love. The search for divine union. The search for spiritual love. But unfortunately, due to ignorance, we're looking for that relationship in the material world. And we meet with this we work very hard. We see all the husbands working very hard, and the husbands are foaming at the mouth. And they think, yes, I'm foaming at the mouth. Serve my beloved queen. Serve the queen. So I serve my queen, but what do I get? Disappointment. And then the wife's working so hard to please the family, please the husband. What does she get? Disappointment. So this is the people in ignorance. The material world, they are suffering because they're not being able to satisfy this eternal propensity of the soul to want divine connection. What does yoga mean? Yoga means connection, divine connection. Connection means union, and the ultimate union is Shringara Rasa, Adi Rasa. This is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur describes this Adi Rasa. So this Adi Rasa is so wonderful and so satisfying that the Lord Himself, He comes into this world to show His sex activities. He comes to show, this is explained in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Krishna comes to this world to show His pastimes of the Rasa Lila, to show divine love, to show how the gopis in pure spiritual bodies are offering themselves for the divine pleasure of Krishna. And we, being all females, by propensity, by mentality, are supposed to offer ourselves completely for the pleasure of Krishna. This is the Adi Rasa. So he shows, see the inhabitants of Vrindavan, how they're joined with me, they're in divine union with me. Their bodies, minds, words, everything, there's no more tighter union with Christian that's found in the Vrijavasis. They are inside and outside divinely connected with Krishna. They are melted in oneness with Krishna. This is Tadatmika. They're Atmika. They're one with Krishna, their body, minds, and words. So this is the actual, the ultimate satisfaction of the soul comes when he comes to when he reaches the platform of knowledge in Bhakti Yoga. When he realizes his sarup, and he realizes, because what happens is, in material ignorance, we condemn this propensity. Oh, I'm such an evil man, I'm such a bad man, I'm such an evil woman, I'm such a bad woman, because I have this sex desire, this sex propensity. Krishna. He's not Krishna. He's attracting all of the entities. Karsha, Krishna. So he wants us to enjoy with him. Have divine love with him. Divine connection with him. And we say, well, what is that? How do you have divine connection with Krishna? How do you have union with Krishna? Divine union with God. Look, I'll show you. And he comes here to show the Vasudeva in Vrindavan. Show this is divine love. This is real knowledge. And when we say Jivera Surupaya Krishna Nityadas, part of real coming to this Sambandha Jnana is when we come to this understanding of Surup. Yes, I have my own form, I have a body, I have a spiritual body. And this driving force within me that wants this material, my material body wants to link with another material body. This is sex enjoyment. This comes from the soul's driving force to want to link with Krishna. My spiritual form, I can join with Krishna, divine love, it. Aniras. This is the most flavorful, satisfying of all relationships. Srinagar. Nityadas, Krishna Nityadas, until we realize Swarup. Because when we realize Swarup, then we'll realize, yes, then this propensity to be driven to enjoy the forms of this world will die, will cease. Because we realize, yeah, I am totally detached. I'm no longer part of this material body. This is not me. So transcendental knowledge has this purifying effect. The accumulation, the culmination of transcendental knowledge brings one to the point of realizing who I am, what is my soul. And at this point of realizing one's through, then one can fully express his nature, his eternal nature as the loving servitor of the Lord, Krishna Nityadas. And when one is existing that consciousness as a loving servant of the Lord, he is no longer affected by the mundane attractions of this world, and no longer affected by any condition of the material body. Because his propensity, that inner propensity, that inner drive for union has finally found satisfaction in his loving relationship with the Lord. This is bhakti. This is prema bhakti. So this is the... So when we feel this force within us, we should realize, yes, that same burning fire I have within myself, which is called, we call lust, the kamesha, krodesha, rajagunas, samudva, this raja that's caused by a passion within us, is actually the burning desire to be one with Krishna, to have a loving oneness with Krishna. And when one realizes Krishna, and he can see Krishna everywhere, and he's always seeing his beloved everywhere. Now, that same desire, we want to see our beloved everywhere. We want to see our beloved everywhere. So a man, he looks at every single woman. A man looks at every woman. Oh, there's a nice one. Well, that was ugly. No, 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 yes. No, yes, no, yes, no, yes. Good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. Oh, very good. Oh. And woman saying, oh, good man, bad man, good man. Oh, handsome man, tall, powerful. Oh, good man, very good man. Does he have money? He's very rich. Oh, he's rich. And then he has money, he's powerful, he's handsome, he's educated. Does he have any culture? Does he have any behavior? Oh, he's very cultured. Very good man. Oh, hello. My name is so-and-so. Oh, really? Here's my phone number. So, every woman is looking at every man, and every man is looking at every woman, because they're all looking for Krishna. But when one comes to this knowledge of his real, his sarup, yes, I have a spiritual form. Oh, now I know why I've been driven. Now I know why I've been driven for so many lifetimes and pushed. I know what this aniras within me is. This sex drive. This sex drive, it should drive us all the way back to Godhead. But the sex drive drives people to doghead, because they don't, because if the sex drive is combined with transcendental knowledge, if you understand what is this adiras, what is the real source of this drive, then you direct it towards Krishna, you'll find full satisfaction and get liberation. Apavarga. No more pavarga, no more material existence. You got apavarga, liberation. So that's why this verse, it brings two themes, knowledge and sex attraction. Dies with you one time. It explains that if you don't have transcendental knowledge, then what's left? If you have no transcendental knowledge, all you have left is the body. This group, this man's body, this woman's body. And once you have that body, then what's the next thing that's left? It's this driving force, this adiras, this search for the divine taste. Ras means taste, flavor. Everyone's looking for some pleasure, some flavor in life. So this adiras becomes transferred to maitanadi. Maitanadi means the sex attraction. Sex attraction is there. It's eternal. There's eternal sex attraction between Krishna and his parts and parcels. And this philosophy of Krishna consciousness is meant to completely purify that adiras. Not purify, but bring us to that point of shrinkaras, adiras. Rather than condemn this, I have to stop this. I have this sex drive, I have to stop this. Of course we don't have to stop it, we have to purify it. We have to realize, what is this? In teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya's teachings, there's a whole essay in my Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. How that one has to understand, one should come to this point of understanding that this is the natural, like sometimes I remember in the 70s, the hippies would say, it's natural. Let it all hang out, it's natural. The sex drive is natural. Just go naked, streak across the campus, run naked across the campus, or free sex and free love and love-ins and be-ins. They used to have these big parties called love-ins, where everybody would get together and get intoxicated in love and love and so-called love. Change like one monkey to another monkey and changing monkeys in a big monkey party. Is this natural? And they would meet Hare Krishna and say, oh, you guys are repressing. You're repressing a natural drive. Why are you repressing this? You guys are prudes, are Victorian. This is not natural. It's not healthy to repress this. It's not healthy to repress this drive. So we can respond that we have enlightenment. We have enlightenment in our philosophy and understanding. Want to speak of personal realization. We can be very convincing in our presentation. We can say, actually you're right. This sex drive is natural. It is part and parcel of the soul. But you're looking in the wrong place. And the result of your so-called indulgence, of the perversion of this natural propensity, it ends up in disease and disappointment and frustration and ridicule and death. But if we can teach you how to have unlimited enjoyment on the spiritual platform, how to find real divine union that never ends, a loving climax that never comes down, an unlimited love that increases and increases and goes higher and higher and deeper and greater in relation, in ecstasy. Ecstasy that never increases. So many psychologists, so many philosophers have written books about the search for love and the loving propensity and this and that. And they don't understand that this love can be directed towards Krishna. That's why Krishna comes. In the material world, there's Cupid. Cupid increases the attraction for flesh. Cupid acts in this material world to make you attracted to flesh, to make one person want to squeeze and hold the body of another person, enjoy the flesh of another. But Krishna comes into this world as the Kamadevi, as the transcendental Cupid. He comes into this world and he also has five flowers. I mean five arrows. But they're flower arrows. Mango blossoms, ashoka blossoms. They're very wonderful. If someone throws flower petals on your head, you feel very relaxed and very refreshed. If someone throws rose petals on your head, or they throw some nice flower petals. But if someone throws an arrow on your head, or shoots your head with a steel-tipped arrow dipped in poison and razor sharp, you won't appreciate it.
So Kandarpa, the Cupid of the material world, is shooting arrows at our head, flaming arrows with sharpened points like razors, very painful and cutting. But Krishna comes as Kamadeva, and he's a very special Cupid. Kamadeva means he's a transcendental Cupid. He throws flowers at our head. We feel very rejoiced and very comfortable, relaxed. Very soothing. The touch of Krishna is very soothing. The contact of the transcendental Cupid is very satisfying. And the contact of the material Cupid is very painful. Painful. Lust is painful. Painful when you're separated from the object of lust. And even painful when you're with the object of lust, and painful when you're not with the object of lust. So Cupid creates a painful situation. But the transcendental Cupid of Krishna creates a very sweet and divine situation. So he's known as Kamadeva because he's very special. Krishna attracts men, and he attracts women. And he also attracts moving objects and non-moving objects. Everything moving and non-moving is attracted to Krishna. When Krishna plays his flute, the non-moving objects start moving towards Krishna. The mountains start melting. The mountains hear the sound. They hear the sound of Krishna's flute. They say, they feel, I want to run to Krishna. But I can't. I'm immobile. What to do? I have to become liquid. So they melt. The mountains melt and they start flowing. Let's go to Krishna. They start running in the form of liquid. They run to Krishna. And the trees, they say, I want to go to Krishna. I'm hearing his flute, but their legs are stuck in the soil. Their legs are locked in the soil. The roots are locked in the soil. So somehow they pull those legs out of the soil and they run. The trees are moving. The rocks are melting. So the immovable things start moving to Krishna because they're attracted. And the moving things, they're moving. They say, wait a minute. If we keep moving, Krishna's playing his flute. We're going away from Krishna. Yamuna's thinking, I'm going down to Lalabad. Krishna's playing his flute. I better stop. So the moving things become frozen. They become stunned and they say, I don't want to move. Krishna's calling me. I'm feeling attracted. Don't let me move. Like sometimes a new bhakta, he says, Prabhu, I have to leave the temple. I want to go back home. Hey, wait a minute. Don't go home. Don't run away from Krishna. Stay here. Somehow you fill him with prasadam, so he becomes stunned. You take the new bhakta and you fill him full of prasadam. Here, take a big plate of prasadam, forget about going home. And then he takes enough prasadam and he becomes stunned. And when he's stunned, he can't move. So then he becomes attracted by Krishna and he becomes stunned. So the moving things, when they hear Krishna's flute, they become stunned at immobility. They can't move. They don't want to leave Krishna. But this is the feature of Krishna, and he's such a comedy, such a Cupid, that he attracts the men and the women. He even attracts himself. How does he attract men? We see Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu, he made an arrangement to steal the sons of one Brahma. So that Arjuna and Krishna had to go to see Mahavishnu ultimately to find out where those sons were. And when Mahavishnu came there, he said, actually, you know, I arranged to steal the sons of this Brahman because I wanted to have your darshan, Krishna. I heard so much about you, and I've been observing the Rasa Leela and how wonderful it is in Vrindavan. And I'm here at Mahavishnu so far away, and I'm so much absorbed in this material creation. But I wanted to have your darshan, so I stole the sons of this Brahman, so you'd be forced to come here. So Krishna went to Mahavishnu Loka. And Mahavishnu saw Krishna, he was crying. Oh, you're so beautiful. You're so attractive. I've never seen such a beautiful person. So Krishna, he's attractive. This transcendental Cupid of Kamadeva, he attracts all the men and all the women. Remember once we were distributing Bhaktivedanta in 1975. And there was this one Bhaktivedanta that year. Krishna sitting on a rock. It was an old style painting. Krishna's sitting on a rock and he's playing a flute and he's had a very shiny yellow dhoti with little silver lines in it, like horizontal lines. And Krishna had long hair, really long hair. He had a little tiny, maybe peacock feather in his hair, long hair going down his shoulders. He looked like some rock star or something. A real long whirly flute. Very beautiful BDG, you may remember that. Very simple style painting, very brilliant colors. When we were distributing this, some people would say, oh, who's that lady? So who's that lady on the cover? Like the men would say, or the hippies that would give the magazine to say, who's that lady? They say, what do you think? I said, oh, she's very attractive, but she's blue. No, this is Krishna. So they can't tell. They feel attracted. They can't tell the man or woman. So Krishna, he's accommodating. He's a transcendental accommodating. So he comes in this world to attract all the men. And he comes in this world to attract all the ladies with his wonderful pastimes. So we are to attain knowledge of these transcendental pastimes, because the power of this knowledge brings us to this point of realization of our spiritual identity. So the highest form of spiritual knowledge is the knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is the five chapters of the Rasa Leela. So in the Rasa Leela chapters, Krishna shows the Adi Ras in action. He shows what is the Adi Ras. Here is the perfection of this sex drive. Here's the perfection of that drive within you that is keeping you in Maya. The drive within you, which is driving you into material bondage and repeated birth and death, is found here in this wonderful pastime of Rasa Leela. See how these liberated souls, and their pure spiritual bodies, how they love me, how they serve me, how they are connected with me, how they are searching for me, and they are completely absorbed in my loving service. This is Surup, Surup Siddhi, the perfection of realizing one's eternal identity. So when one comes to this platform, we are supposed to approach that platform and realize that platform of our eternal loving relationship with the Lord. Then we'll understand, oh, this is what this thing has been all about. Life after life after life, I've been driven and pushed by this craving within me, this craving, this hankering. It will find shelter there. It will find peace there. The craving will stop when we link with Krishna. The hankering will stop when we unfold our loving capacity for Krishna. This is Surup Siddhi. Srimad Bhagavatam King Jai. Is there any questions or comments?
You mentioned only by knowledge can one actually achieve this perfectional platform. So what is that verse, Yasya Devi Parabhakti, that was unless faith in the Guru and faith in Krishna, then everything is automatically revealed to him? So is it something that one has to do by erudition or by constant study, or is it by faith that something is revealed?
Question is that there's one verse, Yasya Devi Parabhakti, Yasya Devi Parabhakti, that simply by having faith, Shraddha, in Guru, of course that verse explains that one has faith in Guru and Shastra. The one that is well, it's also explained Shastra, but anyway. Well, what's explained, one has faith in Guru and Krishna, all the imports of faith is revealed to him. So if this is all that's required is faith, then why, what is the necessity for the transcendental knowledge? But if one has faith in Guru, he'll have faith in his words. So the words of Guru, they are the transcendental knowledge. In other words, faith in Guru means that you hear from Guru, Shraddha. You hear from him. And hearing from him, of course, when he teaches you, he'll also tell you to read my books. Why have I written these books? Prabhupada said, I've written these books for you, for my disciples. They're not for distribution. We say all these books are for distribution. But charity begins at home. We're supposed to distribute the books to ourselves. Distribution of these books means, what are these books? Transcendental knowledge. It means distribute transcendental knowledge. So we should first distribute transcendental knowledge to ourselves. And if you have distributed transcendental knowledge to yourselves, then it's quite easy to distribute to others. So Guru's first order to disciple is to study my books. So I don't think you can separate faith in Guru from studying the Shastra. This is part of our soul. So this is Sambandha Gyan, the Guru's duty. What is Guru? Guru is teacher. He is teacher. He's the embodiment of faith. No doubt, he instills faith. His very presence, his words, his glance, his blessings, he instills faith in the disciple. He blesses the disciple, Shraddha. That is his gift. But moreover, he's a teacher. He's a teacher. So he teaches the science of loving God. And he enriches the disciple with a clear understanding, of this world and of the spiritual world. And he clearly and systematically unfolds the relationship of the disciple or the jiva with Krishna. Step by step he unfolds and reveals, this is your sarup. This is your eternal loving relationship with the Lord. This is how you're to love the Lord eternally. Because knowledge means to come to the identity, to realize the eternal form of Krishna, and to realize my eternal form. This is the perfectional point of transcendental knowledge, Priyojana Tattva, to realize. And that propensity, that driving, that drive for union will find its perfection there. Very good question. The devotee's asking a question from Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such taste by experiencing a higher taste, he becomes fixed and transcendent. So the word rasa is there. So one part of the question is, does this refer to adiras? And if it does that mean that devotees in their serving of the Lord are to some extent tasting adiras? And you're correct. Your realization is correct. Tesham sarata yuktalam vajita vritti kuralaka. The dhammi buddhi avata. Because if your vajan is sincere, Krishna is giving you intelligence to see something in Bhagavad Gita. Certainly, there is some fragrance of adiras. Like you may smell a feast. There may be some cooking going on, a big feast. And the combination of all those aromas is floating through the air. Kachoris frying in ghee, and milk being cooked down in the sweet rice, and sabjis and spices being chanced. All these things together may be going through the air, and maybe smelling big feast being cooked. Of course, you're not supposed to enjoy the flavors of the Lord's prasadam. But by the flavor of the feast, you can understand there's a big feast being made for Krishna, and he'll have a nice enjoyment. So there's flavor of adiras in the service, no doubt. No doubt. So we have to increase that. We don't want to just smell a feast. After Krishna honors the feast, we want to see the feast, how beautiful it looks, how nicely it's arranged, the prepared. We want to think, we want to feel how much devotion must be there in that offering. We want to feel how much devotion is devoted. We want to try to realize it and understand what is the relationship of this devotee who offered this prasadam and this offering. We want to feel that prasadam and appreciate the mood of devotion of those devotees who prepared it and offered it. We want to experience their devotion. Then we want to understand how Krishna honored this and how he shared it with all his eternal associates and how they shared it with us, how our Gurudev has passed it down to us. We want to appreciate that. We want to have that full experience of the Sunday love feast. When they gave, in the early days, when they gave the term in America, somehow the devotees gave the term, and they said, Prabhupada, we should call the Sunday feast the Sunday love feast. And Prabhupada kind of chuckled, oh, the Sunday love feast. Yeah, that's good. The Sunday love feast. So we make a big feast, and we invite everyone for kirtan and pravachan, and we give them a nice prasadam. Love prasadam. Love feast. So by taking this prasadam, you'll have love. Divine love. You'll come to this Shringharas, this Adiras. No doubt. As he explained, you can eat your way back to Godhead. They say the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. You have a phrase like that. The way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So a woman in Indian culture, they know this very well. So they train up every single girl. She learns how to expertly cook. So she can cook very, very expertly. So when she's finally betrothed and gets married, then she cooks a few things and her husband is completely sold out. Very good cook. Expert cook. And every husband, if you meet any Indian man, and how is your wife? Can she cook? Oh, yes. My wife's very good cook. The husband is very proud of his wife. Yes, she's very good. Because she knows the secret that the way to my husband's heart is through his stomach. If I cook very nicely, I'll capture him. So I capture him and I say, oh, I need this, I need that, I want this, I want that. Yes, my queen. Yes, my queen. Yes, my queen. I am your servant. That's what's me. So, the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So, Krishna's in our heart. So take prasadam. Fill your stomach with prasadam and you'll find Krishna in your heart. If your stomach is always full of Krishna, I mean, always full of prasada, which means always full of Krishna, then it's easy to see Krishna in your heart. But what happens is we let bhoga come in our stomach. When bhoga the perverted, the desire to enjoy this tool of the material world. Instead of embracing Krishna and taking prasada, we want to embrace a dead body and eat stool. What a horrible thing. How can we turn from Krishna? And we see that, that his soul turns so far away from Krishna that he takes the body of a pig and he does just that. We shouldn't be like that. We want to have the loving embrace of Krishna. We want to dance with Krishna. We want to love Krishna. We want to embrace Krishna. This is the propensity of the soul. This is real. This is the reality. This is the spiritual reality. And when it's reflected in this material world, we chase after the perversion. We chase after Maya.